Third John. John, Jude, and Revelation, near the end there. Lots of Johns in the Bible, so we went Third John. Third John, there's only one chapter, verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Father, we thank you for this word today. We pray, Lord, that you would bless it to our hearts. Lord, we pray that we would all have a desire to please you and to please godly parents as we walk in the truth. It would cause them joy to their heart today. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This is not a typical Mother's Day message where I'm preaching to the mothers or to the fathers on how to be good to our husbands, how to be good to your wives. We won't do that today either. But I want to look at this general truth of joy that comes to those who are responsible for us, those in authority over us, as they see us walk in the truth. And if there is anybody here today not walking in the truth, I hope that before you leave here today, you would have a desire to do so. I have always thought that children say the most unusual and funny things, and I always like to hear good stories along those lines. All of you who are mothers here today, whom we honor on this Mother's Day, could probably give me quite a list of funny things your children have said and done. But recently I came across a few of these stories that I would like to share with you this morning. First one is a little girl named Amy sent a note to her pastor which read, "Dear preacher, I heard you say to love your enemies. I am only 6 and do not have any yet. I hope to have some when I am 7. Your friend, Love Amy." The following happened in Sunday school. After the Sunday school teacher told the story of the prodigal son to the class, she asked, "Was anyone sorry when the prodigal son returned?" One boy answered, "The fatted calf." Bringing home report cards has been the source of many strange comments. A cartoon showed a father scowling over a very bad report card while his little boy stood by asking, "What do you think it is, Dad? Heredity or environment?" Here is another. The young boy brought home a report card heavy with poor grades. His mother asked, "What have you to say about this?" The boy replied, "Well, one thing is for sure. You know I ain't cheating." A little boy asked his mother where he came from and also where she had come from as a baby. His mother gave him a tale about a beautiful white feathered bird. The boy ran into the next room and asked his grandmother the same question. He received a variation of the same story. He then scampered outside to tell his playmate with the comment, "You know, there hasn't been a normal birth in our family for 3 generations." Here's one about a story of a boy with a positive mental attitude. A little boy was overheard talking to himself as he strutted through the backyard, baseball cap on his head and bat and ball in tow. He was heard to say, "I'm the greatest baseball hitter in the world," as he threw the ball up in the air and took a swing. Strike one. He had missed. Undaunted, he picked up the ball, threw it up in the air again. As he did, he said, "I'm the greatest baseball hitter in the world." Missed again. Strike two. He picked up the bat and the ball, and he looked at the bat to make sure there wasn't a hole in it. Threw it up in the air again. "I'm the best baseball hitter in the world." He swung. He missed. Strike three. "Wow, I'm the greatest pitcher in the world," he said. Now, this is not something a child said, but it is about children. There's a sign in our church nursery. You've probably seen it, a quote from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." But one thing is sure, our children do change a lot over the years, don't they? We live in a world where change is the operative word. Some changes are for the good. Some changes are for the worst. And if our children can navigate their life in this world with all of its changes and they come out intact, we are grateful, because not all children do. I suppose one of the hardest things for any parent to experience is the realization that our children sometimes don't learn from our hard lessons. We've been through life, we learn hard lessons, and we've gained wisdom from those mistakes and those failures. But our children aren't always apt to benefit from them because they don't see the value in our wisdom until they make the same mistakes for themselves. And then they see that mom and dad were right all along. And so that's hard for us to take, because none of us like to see our children suffer needlessly. And on the other hand, when children turn out right, then human words cannot begin to describe the joy that a parent has when he sees or she sees their children walking in truth. Experiences like that are especially sweet, but such are the joys and the burdens of parenthood. The Apostle John spoke of a joy in our text this morning. He said, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." No greater joy. The thing that brought the greatest joy to his heart was the fact that his children were walking in truth. And of course, John here is speaking of his children as his spiritual children. And so there's, first of all, a pastor's joy when people walk in truth. That's what the Apostle John was referring to. That is the interpretation of this passage. Here we have a glimpse into a pastor's heart. The thing that causes a pastor the greatest joy is to know that the members of his church, the members of his congregation, are walking in truth. John here, we're not sure if he had a part in bringing these people to Christ. He might have, but whether he did or he didn't, he still felt a keen responsibility concerning their welfare. His desire was for them to follow the Lord more fully. And any pastor desires to see that his people flourish. He is thrilled when he sees people changing their lives and being conformed into the image of Christ and growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When one goes astray, we're concerned for them. When one discovers God in a fresh and living way, there is a great joy. We are overjoyed that they have such an experience in the Lord. The apostle, like any other minister, wanted to see that his spiritual children were making their lives count. We all ask the question, what impact is my ministry having on the people in our congregation? The people that hear us preach and teach every week? Is it having any impact on them? Are their lives being changed? Are they being encouraged? Are they growing in the Lord? Are they bearing fruit? Are they having an impact on others? Sometimes it's hard to tell, but our desire is that it may be so. You will notice that the apostle indicates that his joy is to hear that his children are walking in the truth. To hear of it requires that people must be seeing these believers walking in truth. And they are talking about it. And word is getting around, and it's getting back to the pastor's ears. The people in that church, they walk in truth. They're having an impact with those that they come in contact with. For a pastor, there can be no greater joy or fulfillment than to know that your ministry is making a difference and having an impact. My greatest joy is when people come to me after a sermon or a teaching or some word of encouragement and say, "Pastor, what you had to say really ministered to me." There's no greater joy than that. Maybe some of you have experienced that as Sunday school teachers or just being a layperson and ministering to someone or talking with them. And they come back and they just say, "You know, you gave me such encouragement. You gave me great strength. I was able to face a difficult situation because of what you said." And then we know that our labor has not been in vain. And when we hear of someone who's doing great things for God, we are overjoyed. That's what John had in mind when he penned those words. But I also would like to look today at a parent's joy. Because even though John was their pastor and was concerned about their spiritual well-being, parents are concerned about the natural part of their children, concerned about their physical well-being. These words apply. We can take application and apply them to sons and daughters of Christian parents. I say Christian because it's sad but true that not all parents are pleased when their children walk in the truth. They're not always pleased when they have children that live a Christian life. Unless parents are walking in truth, they have no desire for their children to walk in the truth. It has been said that no wolf prays for its offspring to become a sheep. So I'm sure that those who have no use for Christ themselves wish that their children had no time for Christ, to follow Christ. Now, there are parents who are happy if their children are healthy in body, but don't think anything of the cancer of sin within them. They may feel a certain sense of pride if they can clothe their children in the latest designer fashions, but they're not concerned if their children are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. To some, it matters more that their children have a $200 pair of tennis shoes on than it does whether they are walking in those tennis shoes on the broad or narrow way of life. There are more who are concerned about grades in school than whether their children's minds are renewed by the things of the Lord. But if our children lose the crown of eternal life, there will be no consolation, even if they gain the highest honors in this life, because our children have not only a body, our children have a soul. And to the Christian parent, that is the most important thing. We are concerned mostly about their soul. How is their soul? Is their soul in fellowship with God? If our children were to die, God forbid, if they were, would their soul go to be in the presence of the Lord? To a Christian parent, there is no greater joy than to hear that your children are walking in the truth. Kids that are here today, you want to give your mom a great Mother's Day present? You just walk in the truth. That is the greatest thing that you can give her. You live the Christian life. To know the truth is very good. But this text emphasizes walking in the truth. To me, that is speaking of something more than of just knowing the truth. To know the truth is good. Indeed, that is where we all have to start, but we must not stop there. We must move from knowing the truth to walking in the truth. To know the truth is good. To walk in the truth is far better. Of what truth? Of what truth is John speaking of here? I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. What truth is he talking about? What truth should we be walking in our lives? Firstly, he is speaking of the truth as it pertains to salvation. Of course, we want our children to be saved. And unless that truth is applied to their lives, all else will be in vain. So first of all, the truth that leads to salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the what? Truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father, Jesus said, but through him. And so we are pleased, first of all, when our children receive the truth that Christ has taught and follow him and his example on how we might gain entrance into heaven. But he's also speaking of a truth that pertains to right living. To be found walking in the truth means that we live our lives in such a way that we are pleasing the one who is also the truth, the way, the life. What Christian parent would not be overwhelmed by joy to see their children living in this way? And to hear of them living this way is the best thing that can happen. Our children, you know, sometimes they act a certain way around us and a different way when we are not around. But to hear that they are walking in the truth when we are not there is a great thing. It's a joyful thing indeed. And finally, we can ask ourselves today, moms, dads, how can we help our children to walk in the truth. How can we help them live this way? Well, there are several practical things that we can do if we are going to help our children live for Jesus. The first thing is that we must love Jesus ourselves. We will never be able as parents to inspire our children to love the Lord if we do not love Him passionately ourselves. By loving Jesus, by putting Him first in our lives, we are showing them that which is really important in life. By loving Jesus, they see in us the kind of character that they should emulate. No Christian parent is ever called to any higher task than to love Jesus Christ. Listen, that is your highest task, and it's attainable. It's not something that is unattainable. We can all set before our children the example of loving Christ. That's the first thing that we can do. The second thing that we can do is to live our lives before our children as a Christian parent should live. I'm saying simply here, we can be an example to them. We need to set the example. You need to set the example in your home daily before your children. Now, Christians are not perfect. And Christian parents are not perfect either. To be honest with you, I've never seen a perfect parent. Never seen a perfect Christian parent. We're not perfect. Every parent has their ups and downs, their highs, their lows, our good days, our bad days, our times of steadiness, and our times of stumbling. At times we lose it. And our children wonder, who is that wild creature that is streaking around the house? One time we saw this Calvin and Hobbes comic strip. And all of a sudden they're driving down the road in the car, and the dad turns around and he's got this ugly face on as he is yelling at the top of his lungs at Calvin and Hobbes. And Calvin says, "That's okay, Dad. We were just having an ugly face contest and you won." You know what happens? Once in a while, I get that ugly face on and I'll turn to my kids in anger, and Debbie will say, "They're having an ugly face contest and you just won." Reminds myself that I'm not perfect, but I need to set the example before my children. How do I deal with life? You know, because how I deal with life is probably how my children are going to deal with life. You know, studies show us that we tend to parent a lot like our parents. And so your children are probably going to parent like you do. So that's something to think about. You set the example of how you want them to become parents and how they're going to parent your grandchildren. Only by the grace of God can we live before them in such a way that they see Jesus in us. And don't be afraid to tell them of the mistakes that you've made and the failures that you've made. Christ is in us, but you know, I think about this often. How is Christ seen in us unless we become broken vessels? Only as we are broken before our children and the world can the light of Christ shine through and can people see Christ in us. So we need to be broken vessels. We need to be open and honest and transparent before our children that they might see Christ. The third thing we must do is share with them our faith. We must verbally share with them that Jesus Christ can make a difference in their lives. We must share with them how they can know Christ as their personal Savior. With most of our children, either Debbie or I have had the privilege of leading them to the Lord, those that are saved. We've had the privilege of leading them. I remember one time it happened in the backseat of a car as we were driving down the road. I remember one time coming home from somewhere and Rachel shared with me how she gave her life to Christ that day during school, as they had just taught something and they applied some Christian principles there, and it was part of their phonics program, and how she had given her life to Christ at that time. You know, we can't just assume that our children are going to be Christians, that they're going to get saved. That's the tendency growing up in a Christian church. We just think that our children are going to make that commitment and they're going to do it automatically. we need to see that it is done. You know, I think in my life I could have escaped without ever receiving Christ as my Savior, because I was up till nine years old, nobody had ever tried to lead me to the Lord. They just assumed I went to church every Sunday. They just assumed I was a Christian. They assumed I made a commitment, probably at 4 or 5 years of age. I never could remember such a thing. It was only as I heard Billy Graham on the TV. He said, there are some people that are listening under the sound of my voice. You know how he did that. And you've never asked Jesus into your heart. You've never asked Him to be your Savior. And I said, that's me. I wonder how long I could have went. Probably my entire life. If somebody had not challenged me in that regard. There might be people here today. There might be kids. There might be your own kids that we've just taken it for granted that they're Christians. They come every Sunday. They're good kids. But they have not ever asked Jesus to be their Savior. Maybe there's some adults here today like that. You've never done that. This is the most important thing we can do as parents. Make sure that your children are saved. Make sure that they've received Christ as their own personal Savior. We need to explain to them just how important it is to follow Christ, and we must not be shy. We must not hold back. You know, we don't shy from telling them of the dangers of drugs. We must be even more determined to tell them of the danger of allowing sin to go unchecked in their life. While we cannot decide for our children, we can share with them in such a way that they understand the truth of the gospel. There are many other things that we can do as well, but these are just a few, and I think these are the highlights. Love Jesus, set before them an example, and seek to lead them to Christ at an early age as possible. We must not neglect these. These are basic. These are fundamental. Let's commit ourselves again. Let's recommit ourselves again to live our lives before our children in such a way that if they follow our example, we will experience joy. That's it. If they follow our example, we will experience joy. I have no greater joy than this, than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. It's gotten back to me. My children are living godly lives, walking in the truth. Young people, kids here today, are you causing your parents joy because they're hearing about your life that you are walking in the truth? If you're here today and you can't say that, can't say, my parents are not having joy over the fact that I'm walking in the truth, why don't you decide to do that today? Decide, first of all, to know the truth, but then to even go beyond that, to walk in the truth, to live your life boldly, courageously, in such a way that people will take notice that you are walking in the truth. Could I have your heads bowed and eyes closed this morning? In a few moments, we're going to sing Step by Step. I wonder, first of all, is there anybody here? Say, Pastor, I have never asked Jesus into my heart. I've never actually done that. I believe that He died on the cross. I believe that He was buried. I believe that He rose again. But as far as ever asking Him in to be my Savior and to forgive me of my sins, I've never done that. You see, the Lord, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will not come in unless He's invited. You have to invite Him in. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the children of God. So is there anybody here, you would raise your hand, you would say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I have not received Christ as my Savior, but I would like to. Is there anybody? Is there anybody here today? How about any children, any young people? You know that you are walking in ways that are not truth. You know that you are not following your parents' example. And today you would like to repent of that and begin to walk in the truth, that you might bring joy to your Heavenly Father, to your pastor, but also to your parents. Anybody here, young person, child, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not walking completely in truth. There are some areas I'm not walking in truth in. Would you be honest before the Lord today? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, your parents aren't looking. Anybody? Okay, amen. Amen. Anybody else? Parents, moms, dads, listen to this poem. It's called Footsteps. There are little feet that follow in my footsteps every day. Their little voices echo so much of what I say. Sometimes I'm not too happy with all the things I see. Then I begin to realize that they're imitating me. My patience seems to falter, and I speak with too much haste till I hear the Savior speaking when I look into each face. Oh God, please grant me wisdom as I train each little one. Help me set a good example as you yourself have done. I would not ask for riches or that they famous be, but may each find Christ as Savior and live each day for Thee. How many parents are here today who'd say, with God's help, by God's grace, I will set before my children that they may see me loving Jesus, that they would see me living a godly example, and that I will seek to lead my children, my grandchildren, to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. If those would be your life goals, would you just raise your hand in commitment to the Lord? Amen. 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 Lord, thank you for these hands that have went up today. Lord, it is very humbling when we see our children acting like us. Lord, it is our desire that we love you above all else, heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, it is our desire that we set before them a good example, and that, Lord, it is our desire that each one may come to find you as their Savior and live for you each day. Help us, Lord, to do our part. Help us to do those simple things today. And Lord, for this one I pray that raise their hand for not completely walking in truth. Lord, give them the grace, the strength to be able to do that. Lord, we know that it's by your grace alone, that we don't falter and fail. It's by your grace that we gain victory and that you conquer our lives. We thank you for that. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Would the worship team come back? Let's sing that chorus, Step by Step. I made the wrong sign. That was my problem. Let's start it over. Just start it over.
God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. And I will seek you in the morning. I will learn to walk in your way. And step by step, believe me, I will follow you all of my days.
Amen. If we could have you just be seated for just a couple more moments. We'd like all the mothers to come and stand up here in front. Would you do that? Come and stand up across the aisle here, or the altar here. Pastor Craig, would you come? And Josh and Mark, would you stay here and each of you take a tray and hand it. Go by the moms and let them take the flower of their choice. I'm going to have Pastor Craig come to the microphone up here and lead us in prayer for all the moms as soon as we all get up here and get a gift. Next week we have the privilege of baby dedication, Pastor Craig and Christy. And then Annette is only a mom, new mom for the last 8 days. 8 days. Praise the Lord. Pastor Craig, would you lead us in prayer, please?
God, we just thank you for these mothers that you have put in each one of our lives and how they have affected us and changed us. And we just thank you for the service that they are to each one in their family and to this church and to their cities and to this country, Lord. We honor them today and we just lift them up to you and ask God that you would just work in their lives and minister to their needs. Lord, we just respect them today. And we just ask God, as we leave this place, that you would just give them a good week and a good year. And that you would just bless each one and touch them, Lord, with a special anointing to be the mother or grandmother that you have called them to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Could we just stand and show them our appreciation? Praise the Lord.